and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The Parkland, Florida school shooting was reenacted today because of a civil lawsuit against school resource officer Scott Peterson. CBS News correspondent Manuel Bajorquez explains why.
What they're trying to do here is replicate what the sound of the bullets would be like from the perspective of where the school resource officer stood outside of the building during the shooting. He stood out there for 40 minutes. His defense has been that he did not know exactly where the shots were coming from because of all the echoes that were happening at that time.
Attorneys for former President Donald Trump say they need more time before a second hearing at the end of the month in the case involving his alleged attempt to disrupt the 2020 election. CBS News chief political analyst John Dickerson.
Remember, this is a case where much of the most damning evidence against the former president is from people in his inner circle. And so that's a tough job for his lawyers to go through all of that. Plus, they've got all these other cases. This is a case where there's a lot of work, and so it doesn't seem crazy to ask for more time to go through all of the material.
Trump made his first court appearance yesterday in Washington. He pleaded not guilty to four felony charges. A Russian court has imposed another sentence for opposition leader Alexei Navalny.
An extra 19 years was added to his time behind bars. One of Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, Navalny already was serving more than 11 years. He would be 74 years old by the time he's released from prison in 2050. The U.S. State Department blasted the latest verdict, calling it an unjust conclusion to an unjust trial.
CBS's Cammie McCormick reporting. Drivers signaled their support for striking nurses in central New Jersey. Nearly 2,000 nurses at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick are on strike. Their main complaint is staffing levels. The labor market is showing signs of a slowdown.
Employers added 187,000 jobs in July, a bit less than the 200,000 estimated. Mark Hamrick is the senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com.
With the July report coupled with recent data on job openings, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will likely continue to describe the job market as very tight.
The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%. Economists say that's a sign the job market remains resilient. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
After the report, stocks are down an hour before the closing bell. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Keeping your kids safe is a full-time job, whether it's putting on outlet covers, installing child gates, or gluing down your priceless face. So Duracell made one part of childproofing simple. Our lithium coin batteries are the only ones coated in a non-toxic bitterant to help discourage swallowing. Your kid is safer, and you've got one less thing to worry about. Or glue down. Duracell, engineered for more. Available in 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Boot Barn is committed to supporting those who uphold the Western way of life. Denim plays a major role as a robust material that holds strong in a rugged environment. Since 1947, the Wrangler Authentic Western Jeans have brought long-lasting denim to all who embrace the cowboy lifestyle. Boot Barn is proud to support this bold legacy, one that's just as iconic now as it was then. Wrangler at Boot Barn.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, August 7th. In Wood County, the City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wood County Residential Options Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Property and Information Technology Committee meeting is also at 9 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission meeting is at 4 p.m. at City Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids School Board Committee meetings will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. In Portage County, the Finance Committee will meet at 6, and the Stevens Point City Plan Commission will also meet at 6. In Whiting, the Ad Hoc Village Property Meeting will take place at 5. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee meeting will run from 9 to 11 a.m., and the Adams City Council meeting begins at 6. The Village of Port Edwards Fire and Police Commission meeting takes place at 5. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a low of 61. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 85 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy. Upper 70s Sunday and Monday with thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 86.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 4th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in some of the cast and director from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Toasted. Looking forward to hanging out with them right now. Looking forward to a good conversation, as always, with our friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Good morning, Scott, or good afternoon.
I almost said it, too. I'm glad you said good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah. I get it out of the way so our guests don't have to make the mistake. That's a How have you been? How have you been, Scott?
I'm good, really good, actually. It's been a pretty active summer, you know, just getting out and about and staying connected with folks back home instead of having to be to Madison constantly. So that's always a nice thing.
We know that you oftentimes have to call us on the road and bopping around town, bopping around the state. Where are you at today?
So we are down in Delwood at our campsite. We've been basically down here since school got out, so we've just let the cats have our house for the summer and just come on down here. So
right on Scott, I wanted to start off with the Operation We Love Our Troops. Saw a little bit about this before. Can you tell the audience what that is?
Yeah, so we try to partner with different organizations around the state, you know, because we've got such a big caucus. We try to figure out a good cause, and Wisconsin Women for its support for the troops approached us about doing some care packages for individuals who are serving, you know, either domestically or abroad or out on a carrier or wherever it may be, so we could get care packages put together and sent out to our troops who are doing so much to protect our freedom. So the caucus came together in the last few weeks here, worked with our local schools over the last few months to have kids handwrite some letters and thank yous and thinking of you type of things. So we took all of those care package items we bought, all the letters from the kids, all the coordination, put it all together and had a big event package. I think it was a few hundred of these boxes out to individuals from our districts who each of us did two or three each and sent them out just to show them that we're thinking about them.
Where did this idea come from?
So usually, you know, in the past we've done this before for care packages for different events, and this one actually came to us from this group, Wisconsin Women for the Troops. So they're a local organization in Southeast Wisconsin that approached us saying, hey, I remember you guys did something like this a few years back. Would you be interested in again? We'd help get all the names and addresses and all the things for all the people that you would like to help find. So they did a great job pulling it all together and bringing it to us for conclusion.
A big thank you to them for that, too. Appreciate those kind of efforts that we can make any opportunities to show our soldiers that we're thinking of them. Always good to be able to take that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good event. And, you know, when you see those names that you, you know, try to pull together from locals, and sometimes you get surprised knowing who's where sometimes. And it was interesting to see. I had one of my troops that I did a box for was out in the USS Ronald Reagan, and you know, right now my son's out on the USS Roosevelt, so it kind of helps remind us all how close to home these things hit. So
yeah, wow. Scott, you and I have been doing this for a while, and we've covered a lot of different topics, and I think on air, off air, you and I have mentioned, boy, these are weird times, or oh, we are in unprecedented times. But we haven't had something like this. America is facing the prospect of an ex-president repeatedly going on trial in an election year where he is the Republican frontrunner. I don't think that if I was a Hollywood scriptwriter, for one, I wouldn't be working right now. But I would, if I pitched this as a story to any movie studio, I don't believe it would get made. I think they would laugh you out of the studio. That's how unrealistic I think this is, that the times that we're in with this. Where?
Yeah, you think somebody like West Wing or House of Cards or somebody would have covered something as crazy.
Yeah. Even they didn't come up with this stuff. Even Hollywood writers did not come up with an idea like this.
Even Frank Underwood was never in this position. So.
Part of the reason I'm bringing this up, certainly you are a part of the Republican Party, but more so to me, just you and I, and especially when you and I get a chance to talk off air and everything, I appreciate your political mind. I appreciate you going to school in this and the way that you have a kind of, I think you're one of the few people I know that can run for a party, run for an office, while also having the perspective of looking at this from like a third perspective. As you're seeing this, I'm not asking you, the Republican, the member of the GOP, or asking you as I'm asking you as a citizen.
Yeah.
How do you even feel about something like this? What are your first instincts on this?
You know, and I think where I am, I usually try to, you know, think I'm in the 80% of people in my realm, right? I don't try to get to the extremes. And I think one of the things that I take away from this is that I'm aware of what's going on, but I think most people right now, especially in the midst of summer, you know, are kind of in that same boat where they're aware but really don't know what it all is or what it's all about. So I think I'm almost in that camp too, where I've always tried to keep my head down, focus on the things I need to get done, take care of my family, doing my job, doing all that stuff. And I usually, you know, I keep aware of things, and a little bit less in the summer, but I know that things are happening. I know things are crazy. I'm kind of just sitting this out and letting it play out, because I think most folks are like that too. They're just going to wait and see what's happening with it. It's the absolute craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, some people will say it's a political witch hunt to discredit a front runner. Some will say, hey, the guy's goose is cooked. I am firmly in the camp that the American justice system is the best in the world. It is going to figure it out without my help or my input into it, because it is beyond my pay grade on how to interpret all the things that folks want to relitigate over and over again. So we will see how it plays out. And it's going to be even crazier campaign in 2024, because it's not only presidency that's up for re-election, it is literally everything. You know, every 12 years in Wisconsin, we have one of those everything elections. Last was 2012, this is 2024. We've got the presidency, the U.S. Senate, the entirety of the Congress, the entirety of the state assembly, you know, half of the state Senate. It's going to be a crazy 24 without all of this stuff. So you throw this into the mix, and it's just going to make those primaries even more important for people to look at those candidates and make sure they're vetting them and knowing who they're voting for and why.
Have to ask the simple question to follow up. If it was a Democrat in this position, do you think you'd feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's who I am. I don't play that game. You know, mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. I am a member of the GOP. I don't play politics. I do policy. Mm-hmm. So I don't care either way. I mean, I see a lot of people on social media on the left, you know, some of my progressive friends who always want to try to discredit guys like RFK Jr., for example, right? And I think, you know, some of those characters on the far left and the far right are going to look for any example they can to discredit somebody on the other side, even if they have some ideas that resonate with them. So it's Wisconsin politics and national politics have gotten way too tribal. And I think there needs to be some of us who can just be outside of it and just analyze situations for what they are when they come up.
Well, when it comes, and well said, I think, sir. When it comes to RFK Jr., the anti-Semitism kind of pushed me away. But I think a lot of Wisconsinites might have been pushed away when Aaron Rodgers backed him. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe. That might have. You might have been a fan of his, and then you found out Aaron Rodgers was backing him. Like, well, wait a minute. I don't know about that. In all seriousness, you mentioned something that I think that others can relate to, and that I think a lot of people are in the position of right now. The idea that this is happening, and they're aware of it out of the corner of their eye, but they're not ingesting and taking in every bit of new information. Do you think there is a danger in that? Take a second to put away feelings and political parties and all of that. We have a situation where a person is being put on trial for attacking our democracy. That right there, you would think, would be the biggest headline in people's brains. That there shouldn't be much more bigger things on the table than attack on our democracy. There seems to be a danger in that, looking out of the corner of your eye and not giving this its full attention.
You know, and I think the way that politics works in general, I think when you deal with things like this in the summertime, and we talk about it all the time, even in our caucus, saying, okay, what are we... You know, are people paying attention? Are people, you know, alert to it, awake to it? I think this is the time where people get a chance to regroup, you know, to take their eyes off of politics for a little bit, to recharge their batteries, wait until kids get back into school, when they're back to the average routine, then they start consuming more news and digesting the things when they're a little bit more ripe. You know, this is pretty new yet, so as it ripens over the fall, people are going to be a lot more aware of it. I don't think there's a problem with people checking out a little bit in the summertime and just recharging their batteries, because this thing's going to be around for a long time to come.
Speaking with Representative Scott Krug, and Scott, I was going over some notes about different things that you and I have discussed over the years. And one of the things that we haven't been able to have, we just haven't had the time to really get into in a while, is water policies and water control, water issues, groundwater mm-hmm. issues specifically in the state. I know that that is one of the reasons that you ran, and one of your bigger causes, one of the things that you care quite deeply about. How is that going here in Wisconsin from, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when we first started talking to now?
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, I can go back to the beginning. You know, 10 years ago, this was a conversation nobody wanted to have. It was all finger-pointing, all blame game. They did this. We can't fix that without them. And I think, you know, over the course of butting heads for 10 years here, I think everybody's finally on the same page, that we're on the right direction, and things have changed significantly in the last 5 to 7 years, you know, with all the little things that, you know, we didn't get national or state headlines on that have played out, you know, the site-specific rules for Lake Peatonwell to reduce the blue-green algae, which is nowhere near as big of a problem as it had been in the past. Even this week, I sit on the Tri-Lakes board here down in Rome, and we just approved a new technology to help clean up the Lake Arrowhead Marina area that's all full of green muck right now. There's nanotechnology, and there's so many other things that weren't around 10 years ago that people couldn't even think would be useful in these things that are cost-effective now, finally. They're getting implemented and used everywhere. I think we're sitting in a really good spot now, and I had preached it back then, too, and I don't like using the I-told-you-so type of stuff, but there would be, you know, I knew at the time that there would be a time where technology would become affordable enough that we could get to the point where we can almost snap some fingers and make some water quality issues better. So we're getting close to that, and it's unfortunate we have to wait for technology sometimes, but, you know, there's only so much money in the world, and, you know, trying to fix massive problems, you got to have the private sector working with the government on the funding side of it to make sure technologies are free and available to take care of some of these things. So I think we're on the fast track to massive improvements. Honestly, we don't hear about it a whole lot anymore. We've moved on to a lot of different things already. So it's great to have played a role in a lot of these things, and I still will, because I'm on my county board, I'm on my lakes board. It's still an issue in the legislature, and keeping our fingers on top of it, but it has calmed down significantly in the last 5 years.
What are, to you, what are some of the biggest reasons for that change in perspective, the way that we're approaching it, or even being more open-minded to the idea?
I think the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality that we did 3-4 years ago now, that carried through into finally getting 13 bipartisan bills signed into law by both Governor Walker and Governor Evers over the last few sessions, that's kind of led to a lot of this putting away the blame game and just saying, okay, even the growers and producers in my area now say, hey, I get it. That's going to help me stay sustainable and profitable for the next 50 years if I make some changes. And for the conservationists in my district, they understand that farmers can't do everything that the conservationist wants right away, but they need help from the government. So we've created grant programs and the producer-led watershed programs and all of these other things that bridge those gaps. They have all had bipartisan support and signed into law by both governors we've had the last few cycles. So it's, you know, that task force really helped when we were able to travel the state, talk about so many different issues that everybody in different areas could understand we were all in the same boat, that politically constituents wanted something done. And, you know, that's always the biggest driver, is when constituents are saying, hey, we need you guys to get some stuff done. That's when we get stuff done quickest. So.
In between the last time we talked and now, we've had the U.S. Open, the senior U.S. Open in Stevens Point. We have the NFL draft coming up in Green Bay in next year. There are some big things sports-wise that have been happening in this state. Economic impact that makes, I think I'm pretty sure that the audience understands out there that that's a huge impact, these things. Are we? Do you think that Wisconsin is primed to host more of these kind of events and do more of these kind of things going forward, as they have shown that not only do they have the space and the ability to do this, but the weather to do it as well?
You know, that's a great segue, because my EF Day covered that this week, actually. It's going to come out probably today or tomorrow, but we're talking about the impact of tourism in Adams County and the state of Wisconsin, right? I mean, we understand, especially here in Adams County, that that's where our bread is buttered, is tourism. Mm. You know, it's taken over manufacturing, it's taken over agriculture. So then you start understanding how important that industry is to your area, and you start playing to your strengths. So what do I have in Adams County? You know, I've got the northern edge of the Dells. I got the northern part of my district covers Sand Valley, Lake, you know, Diracuse, ATV Park, you know, Lake Arrowhead, the Tri Lakes. So we try to capitalize on all those things you possibly can. And other people in the state do that with their areas as well. So I'm fully anticipating that as Sand Valley gets fully functional and all the courses built by the time 2025, 2026 rolls around, that we're going to see them probably get a hotel put into that area. We're going to find ways to find bigger events to come to the Rome area to boost tourism even more in our counties. And I think the biggest driver of all these events growing and happening more often is that when we just changed our shared revenue program here in the state, we tied it to the growth of the sales tax. So I think everybody understands now that the more we can draw people into Wisconsin from not only Illinois, like we do in Adams County, but from the rest of the country, that helps those individuals come here, pay the sales tax. It's going to help fund all of our priorities here. So I think you're going to see an explosion of things like this into the next 5 years.
Do you think that there's been a shift in the kind of mindset for the Wisconsinite when it comes to that? Because I would say when my family and families like mine were first coming here 20 years ago, wasn't always the case. It's there seems to be an approach of, it's not just, oh, you're coming here to take in these events, that's great. If you want to come and move here, our arms are open. That didn't always seem to be the case. Do you think that that has shifted as well? Not just people coming here to visit, but people coming moving here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on the real estate side, I mean, the reason that we picked to, you know, put our second place down here in Delwood is just the massive growth between Arkdale and Rome, that I am working constantly between Northern Bay, all the way up to the Tri-Lakes and Pentonville and Castle Rock, and this entire area is going under a massive, you know, net immigration of people coming from all over the country that are visiting for an event and then ending up staying here. And it's amazing to see the growth in town of Quincy, town of Strong's Prairie, town of Rome when it comes to our equalized values, and just the amount that people are pumping into the third poorest economy, you know, on the countywide scale here in Adams County, to make us one of the more property rich, more diverse economies that you can see in the state of Wisconsin. We've gone from one of the third poorest counties to the third highest growth county in the state because of all the things that are going on tourism related and drawing people here to come live more than just come and play.
See, now you're giving me a segue, because I wanted to bring up Adams County, and this happened last month, but we, again, didn't have a chance to really touch on this, about their garbage pickup and recycling pickup being taken. Oh, and that situation, yeah. Can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, we should. I mean, that was one of the most contentious things I've been a part of as a county board member, was this decision that was made by, you know, the county leadership and the admin and finance committee that didn't come to the entire county board to make a decision on, to remove everybody's countywide garbage pickup who are utilizing it. It was just some massive overreach by the administration here in the county to take away that option without giving people as much input as they wanted on the issue. So, you know, we're starting to see other private companies stepping in and coming to the area and starting to cover some of those pickup areas that people had depended on very rurally here in Adams. But it is still a mess, and the reasons that we were given by the county manager, I just don't think hold a lot of water, saying that, well, we're trying to get this off the levy, trying to save a little money. You know, I get it. I'm a conservative, like we've talked about before, but there are things that people pay taxes for in our county, in our state, in our nation, that are, you know, that are important services. So, you know, when we talk about taxation and the reasons for them, sanitary and public health and safety stuff like garbage pickup are pretty darn important. So mm-hmm. I'm hopeful at some point we can get the County Solid Waste Committee and the Administrative and Finance Committee back together to the table to figure out what options exist for our next county budget to get this back on the table, because it was a bad decision that was implemented in an even worse way.
Being honest, and I'm not saying anything that you or anybody out there listening in Wisconsin doesn't know, Adams hasn't had an influx of people moving there, but that is something that we could use in the Adams County. But something like this does not necessarily encourage people to want to move there. So the understanding of the board, the big thing that I kept hearing was money, that the issue of money. I don't understand how, as adults, they didn't come to the perspective of, well, we're going to be losing even more money doing this by having people moving away or not wanting to move to this area, because who wants to move to an area where you don't have garbage and recycling pickup?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, I mean, we are in the top 25% of net migration. So, I mean, we are getting more people coming to Adams. It will slow it down. It will change people's minds, I think. But, you know, in the end, just the way the decision was made, whether the decision was a good one or not, doesn't even matter, because the way it was done was the bigger problem, where it was just done on a committee level, where it was fast-tracked by administration. I don't like those kinds of things when they happen in Madison. I sure heck don't like them when they happen in Friendship. This is the reason we have county board meetings when people can attend, is to let them come attend and speak their mind. And when we snap decisions and do these things behind closed doors because there's employee contracts involved with it, that doesn't give people the ability to say what they need to say about it. So that's what the next county budget is going to be about, is making sure that, you know, the money side of it is taken care of. And with the changes we made to shared revenue, where I was able to get a 2,000% increase for the county in shared revenue, money isn't the issue. So I don't know where they would keep coming up with why we need this off the levy, because shared revenue change that we made allowed the county to keep a heck of a lot more of its own money instead of sending it to the state of Wisconsin. So the money is going to be there. I think it was $350,000 more per year in shared revenue. So we can definitely afford garbage pickup in Adams County.
And you said you think that this is something that in future board meetings this will get worked out?
It has to. I mean, there's too many people that are forced to scramble to figure it out. And when you start thinking of some of the more rural areas of Adams County, I don't see a lot of providers wanting to step up and go all the way out to White Creek or all the way out to Grand Marsh or Easton or some of those way out areas that are, you know, more based in Wisconsin Rapids or based over in Fond du Lac that some of these providers are. So there's going to be a gap in services, and people are going to have to, you know, make some of their own choices, and you're going to start seeing some of these things pile up in some places probably.
Scott, you know how this works. We did our homework. Now we get to have a little more fun. We usually go right to Brewer news or baseball talk, but I got to tell you some breaking news. 39-year-old Mercedes Lewis just signed with the Chicago Bears on a one-year contract. So now we've got both the tight ends last year of Green Bay. Now we got Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis there in Chicago.
And I'm more looking forward to watching the New York Packers play this year.
Yeah, that's going to be a little more interesting. Boy, that... Even regardless of what happens on the field, if you told me I couldn't watch any NFL games of the Jets, I still want to see the press conferences. I want to see how he deals with the New York media. I cannot wait to see how that plays out.
Didn't give me any weapons in Green Bay, but I'm bringing all the stuff you gave me in Green Bay to New York, and we're going to make it work somehow. And I hear even Devontae Adams wants to come over now. I'm like, all right, well, I might as well just get a New York Packers jersey created here.
Right.
I'm excited about Jordan Love. I mean, I can't wait. You know, I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch whether they win or lose. It doesn't matter to me, because there's some excitement and some cohesion and some – everybody's kind of on the same board, like, okay, we're moving on, let's do something new. So
it's funny, the biggest, I remember when Favre left and the uncertainty and some concern there, with this one, it's all been it's just relief. Every Packer fan I know and everyone that I run into, and one of my better friends is one, of course, the relief on their face when I ask them what their hopes are for the season, it's just like, you know, I just want to have some fun, man. I don't want the drama. They're so happy to be away from the drama. I did want to ask you.
When Favre left and went to New York, I was a Jets fan for a year. I'm not going to be a Jets fan this year because Rodgers left. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Brewers' moves?
You know, it might be a little too late, but I mean, they're hanging tight, and thank God they've got a weak division that they're still right in the wild card and playoff chase. I mean, they'll get there, but they're not going to go anywhere no matter what they did. So,
I like the Santana move, if anything, for his locker room presence. That's good, too. And I'll say this, too. There weren't any big bats available. I'd rather see my team doing something like that than nothing. You know, you think of what Yankee fans are going through, or trust me, as what us White Sox fans are going through. It's a lot better perspective of that than some of these other scenarios.
Yeah, it is. It's just tough watching them score three runs a game when their starting pitcher strikes out 13 guys and loses, you know.
Well, maybe like, maybe the biggest move you got Woodruff coming back, so.
Yeah, that'll help. It finally get the rotation settled in, and Yelich is still raking, and you got Frelick and Terang that are playing nice, and they'll be competitive. Yeah. So it's better than watching them lose all the time. So
yeah, Scott, we always appreciate the time. If people want to follow up on some things that we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, two ways. I'm going to give you two this time. Phone number, obviously, 715-323-3293. And then what we've been asking people to do a lot lately, especially with this solar stuff in Rome that we'll talk about some other time, you can get on our e-update too. So just send us an email at rep.krug at legis.wisconsin.gov, and you can get a weekly update of everything that's going on in our office.
Appreciate the time, Scott. Safe travels out there. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a low of 61. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 85 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy. Upper 70s Sunday and Monday with thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 86.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 4th, 2023. I have your host, James J. here. I am joined right now by some great people. We have Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's production of Toasted to talk about today, and we have with us Ryan Husted, playwright and director. Ryan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, James.
Did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yeah.
Points. Yes.
Yes.
Pam, mark that down. And we also have Ella Panter here with us. Ella?
Hi.
Hi, did I say that one right?
Yes.
Ah, two for two. I'm going to mess this next one up, though, man. Okay. My last name's Maloff. You can mess it up all you want, bud. Jason is here with us, too. Jason, how do I say your last name?
Doberreiner.
Nice. Yep. That's a great name, by the way. Jason, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate all of you being here. And, you know, as you know, you've talked to me before and everything. I'm a theater nerd. I love talking theater. Any chance I get to talk acting, I'm going to do it ad nauseum. So it's a good thing that you guys are here, too, so it's not just me for 27 minutes just rambling about acting. And what I love about it. One of the things that I love the most about theater, Ryan, is original work.
Yeah.
There's very few things as great as, you know, the classics are and everything. When you have an opportunity to be able to do a play originally, and you're the first ones doing this and that kind of thing, I've only been a part of that once or twice, and it's such a unique, wonderful experience, not just as a performer, but as a playwright. When I was in high school, I got to write and direct some plays for me and my friends that got to put on over at Washington School and everything, and I still hold on to that to this day. I'm very curious to know about your writing process, where this idea came from, and how it feels at this point. So let's start first where the idea, Toasted. Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I love 1950s and 1960s sitcom. I Love Lucy, The Dick Van Dyke Show, all of those fantastic shows, timeless shows. The humor is incredible. I just really love the 1950s and 60s. I had previously kind of come up with this idea of surrounding a show around time travel, surrounding a show around like that type of situation, but I didn't exactly know how. I did, however, love sitcoms, and I loved that idea of time travel. And so I kind of blended them together to create the show and what it's about, and how the vibes of that show kind of work in both of those areas. Mm-hmm. Paying homages to things like Back to the Future, perhaps, in a little bit of different situations and people and characters, stuff like that, as well as paying homage to the sitcoms of those times, because I really loved those.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. A big sucker for those, too. Yeah. Lucille Ball, Dick Van Dyke, two of my biggest influences. I would, as a little kid, I would see Dick Van Dyke fall, and I would try to practice it and freak out my grandparents all this. Stop doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. But yeah. I couldn't help it. I think that we say the term forgotten time often, but there are elements of those shows that you will see in, you know, modern TV shows all the time and everything. So I could see the pull from that. The idea of throwing the sci-fi element in there, that seems a little trickier. How long did it take for you to write this?
Well, it took me about, it actually was quite a quick process. Hmm. Only about 5 months, maybe less, actually, to write it.
Show off.
I'm joking. I had a deadline, so that's one of the reasons, right? Yeah. But no, things kind of somehow just came to me at different points. Knowing that we had to have situations in which things would have to either go wrong, disappear, have problems, all of those things. Knowing that I had to do all that, I think it kind of just pushed me along to be able to figure that out. And sci-fi has been such a thing throughout the 50s and 60s as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's magazines about it. There's movies even, such as like the original movie, The Time Machine, mm-hmm. Different movies like that. And so some of those different formats just kind of like allowed me to figure that out, I suppose.
When it came to, it's one thing to write the show. It's another to want to direct it. Mm-hmm. Was that your intention when you were writing it? Is that something that came about kind of organically? Or?
No, my intention was to direct it. I have directed one other show that I've written before at Assumption for the middle school a while ago. But no, it was always that I was going to direct it, and I knew while I was writing it, I think it helped me when I was writing it, because I went, this is how I could direct it, so this is how it will work writing it. And so together they'll work together a lot. So.
Yeah. You guys all are young. You're young artists. You're new in this game and everything. And one of the early things that I heard as a writer, as an actor, just as a creative, was you've got to create 1,000 bad pieces to get a good one. Mm-hmm. You've got to be willing to do bad work to get to the good work.
Yeah.
The early stuff you wrote, how much did it shape you being able to get to this point?
I was just talking about this recently, actually. There are so many things that this show was that it is not anymore. Mm-hmm. Ella's character, for example, is a character that probably came only a few months ago specifically, and developed from there instead of what she originally just was, a side character. Mm. And now she's one of the main few characters in the show. There's so many different scenarios, so many different situations. Originally, I was banking more so on the sitcom feel of the entire show. And now it almost has this modernized feel to the script, but still keeps those elements. So just mm-hmm. different things like that kind of stayed into it.
It's, the purpose of us getting together here is certainly promoting this show, getting as many people as we can to see you guys do this. Another aspect of this, especially when we work with community theaters, is to, you know, encourage young artists, encourage young creatives out there, not only to do this work, to get into this field, but also to understand that not everything is going to be great. Not everything has got to be perfect. Mm-hmm. That it is oftentimes in the flaws and the mistakes that we find the greatness. Yeah. There are a billion examples in human history, and especially in film and TV, of them keeping accidents or things in movies and TV shows and that. And it's a big part of the creative process. And I like to encourage creatives to always work. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Just keep writing. Just keep acting. You'll get there. That's the only way all the greats got there, is by reps and just continuing to do this.
Yeah.
Ryan, before I put your actors on the spot, let's get into the plot. What is this? What is Toasted all about?
So Toasted surrounds the broken marriage of a 1960s couple, Ralph and Donna Millard. Having been married for 15 years, they've gotten to a point in which they practically hate each other, as a lot of people probably do. With a divorce out of the question, the two have no way out of this marriage that they so desperately want to break out of. However, their eccentric neighbor, who is also an inventor, has created a time machine out of a toaster. My homage to the many new and improved appliances of the 50s and 60s, great. Right?
Very nice.
And so Ralph and Donna use it to go to the past, to the day they met, to find their younger selves, break them up, and completely erase their marriage. But with a young Ralph and Donna who are hesitant to let these things happen, and with a lot of electrical problems and such as that, will the Millards be actually able to succeed at this feat? And when they come back, will they like their new alterated future?
My next question, Ryan, do you need an understudy? Because I want to be a part of this. I know it's late to jump into everything, but I'm quick to learn lines. It seems like such a fun show. Has it been a fun process, you guys? Have you been enjoying yourselves?
Very much.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. It's so good to hear. That's the most important question I think I'm going to ask you today, is if you've been enjoying yourself. All of this is great, and it's really wonderful to entertain people, but if you're not enjoying yourselves, it's just, you know, it's not the same. Let's talk about your characters. Ella, I'll start with you. Can you tell us about your character?
So my character is Fran. I'm the mother of the main character, Donna. And so while they're having their own like marriage and relationship issues, I'm having mine with my husband. And so when they go to the past, my daughter from the future, Donna, meets me and she like comes to live with me. And it's interesting to see like the dynamic between the future and the past, and
oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's an interesting thing. Did you have to do anything different with your walk, your voice, anything like that?
Nothing super different so far. Just like getting the motherly instincts, because obviously I'm not a mother.
That's a very good thing to hear. That's a really good thing to hear. Yeah, yeah. You go ahead and take a victory lap on that. That is interesting to hear, though, that you get that, though. You know, young actors don't often always see that. I think that that's some insight and some perspective that's good on you for understanding that, hey, there's certain things I don't get. Did you ask your mom? Did you research that at all?
I guess just seeing different mothers in, like, other shows have given me, like, the envision of of like what Ryan or me wants the character to be.
Right on. And you've been enjoying yourself? You've been having fun with all this?
It's been a lot of fun so
That's
far.
Good. Is there an aspect of the character that you you find very like you or that you found a kinship in?
I guess just I like her little crazy side. She kind of goes nuts sometimes and I kind of do the same.
Very cool. How about the opposite of that? Is there parts of the character that you don't relate to, that you don't adapt to, that you found you had to take a little, you know, again, those reps, you had to practice that?
Definitely getting used to having a husband and having, like, intimate moments like, getting used to that because...
I'm an adult and I'm still getting used to those kind of things. I hear you. Jason, similar questions. Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
So my character is Ralph Millard, one of the main characters, with my wife Donna Millard. And as Ryan said, we've been married for 15 years and we're starting to hate each other. And we're willing to go to some pretty extreme lengths to end our marriage.
Ryan, I'm guessing you are not married in a long... I'm sorry, Jason, you're not married in a long-term relationship.
No.
How did that go for you adapting to this character?
It's pretty weird, but I feel like I'm managing trying to learn that emotion pretty well and display it on stage.
Yeah.
Things go well.
There are parts of the character that you've found a kinship to, that you've found a relationship with?
As Ralph, I get to do a lot of problem solvings because we're kind of in the past and we're trying to fix what went wrong in our marriage. So we get to solve a lot of problems do that.
What about the opposite of that? Are there things about the character that you don't relate to, that you've kind of had to get used to playing?
Probably just being in the marriage.
Yeah. It's pretty much enough right there. It's quite a bit to take in. It's more than enough. Thank you both. Thank you for that. Now, I got more questions for you coming up. But Ryan, when it comes to the rehearsal process, how often have you guys been able to get together to rehearse?
Yeah. We've had this kind of 3-week process in a sense. More so, it's just been a bunch of different people from different scenes, depending on who they are, what they're doing, and I've been picking different moments or different scenes for people to come in, rehearse all of those types of situations. Now we've started doing our full act run-throughs. So last night we did act one, tonight we'll do act two. Next week we'll move into the full show and cue to cue, and all those tech elements get added. So
when it comes to being a director, it's always seemed to me that one of the biggest jobs of a directing is certainly, you know, doing your job, all the basics that people out there know, but scheduling, people management, a lot of that is a big part of that chunk of that pie chart as well. Have you found that?
Yeah, oh, definitely. There's a lot of stuff to have to do. And with a children's show especially, there's so many parents who have to also be involved. It can't just be actors. It's also the parents. And so that's double the people, triple the people almost sometimes. And so managing that sometimes can get pretty difficult. And sometimes I struggle with that, but I think I'm getting the hang of it a little bit more. I think I am doing a little better with it. And I think, hopefully, that by the end of the show, everything will be completely fine and all the problems will be solved.
It will be. I'll put money on it. It definitely will be. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of the cast, the people that aren't able to be here with us. Can you give us some of the other characters, some of the other things the audience is going to really love seeing on that stage?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, there's the Ralph and Donna Millard. They're the main characters. They have the whole marriage, right? There's also the younger versions of them, who are almost complete opposites throughout the entire show. While Ralph and Donna are trying to break them up, they are kind of falling in love. And so there's this struggle dynamic between the two of them and these opposing forces of this old love, not too old, they're only in their 30s, but like, you know, this like, you know, stale love in a sense.
Oh, good way to put it.
Yes, and this new budding teenage, almost stupid in a sense, love.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where, oh, they wouldn't do that. I can't see them ever possibly, you know, like, you know, what there's the line that Jason says where it's, or he and his younger counterpart say, and it's something about, oh, she's not naggy like all the other girls. And Jason laughs and says, give it 15 years. And so there's that dynamic. Ella and her ex-husband have this whole dynamic in the show as well of this, like, love-hate, in a sense. That kind of, in a sense, mirrors the Millards in a way. There's also a character who is Ralph's secretary named Stella, who is a little bit of a Rose Marie in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yes,
she's crazy about men. She loves men. There's all of this thing. But the problem she has is that nobody is ever good enough.
Yeah.
And so she's always trying to find like an extra, like another person, find a date, all of that. And she has an arc with all of those problems throughout the show as well.
You know, when you're going into this, that you're writing something for a youth production.
Mm-hmm.
To take, you know, some of these heavier topics, or to take some of these topics that, you know you're whoever you're casting probably aren't going to have a real perspective on.
Yeah.
Was that purposeful? Was that something, or was it something that you thought about, debated about, and you're like, oh, and they're just going to go ahead with it? I like that you didn't, for lack of a better way to put this, play down, you know, or say, oh, I got to do something that teenagers will get, or what have you. Mm-hmm. You went where the story took you, where your creative process took you. I admire that. But staying that path, did you have any questions about that?
Yeah. Well, it was always, you know, questionable. Like, will this work? Will, you know, certain aspects of that, you know, translate to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I put a lot of faith in the fact that I know that a lot of high schoolers and teenagers, they all do high school musicals every year, right? And they have these themes. And they are things that they have to deal with in a way. And everything that a person deals with in real life can be translated somehow to every sector of a person's life.
Yeah.
So I do believe that, in a way, they understand this stuff. Maybe it's not the exact thing that they're feeling right now or things that they are dealing with right now. But I do believe that they can understand it, that they can grasp it, that they can go with it. And in writing the show as well, I didn't want adults who came to see the show to go, this is a children's show, I have to sit through this. I wrote, the jokes are in the show are a little bit more, not adulty to a sense where it's too much, but they're heightened in a sense, a little bit smarter, a little bit clever. I don't want to call myself clever, but you know what I mean?
I'll call you clever. You're clever.
We're people will be able to laugh at things where maybe things that adults will, like a Disney movie, for example, adults will grasp, but maybe kids won't. Different things like that. I was able to play with all those things, put those things in the script. So hopefully people will kind of enjoy that sense of the humor as well.
Similar to what I was saying to Ella and to Jason here, I think that's insightful. I think that's understanding your audience. One of the greatest things you can do as a creative is know your audience, understand what they want, what they can take, and everything. That's smart. What about future projects? Are you working on anything future coming up here?
This is very much my thing right now.
Yeah.
However, I've got tons of ideas that I've written down, tons of ideas started. They're eventually coming out at some point. And right now, besides Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, I'm in UW La Crosse doing all of their theater stuff there.
Right on.
Yeah.
Oh, good on you, man. I have no doubt whatever is next is going to be great stuff from you. Mm-hmm. And keep up the great work. For you guys, I wanted to ask, because, again, one of the things that we want to do with these times that you join us is not only certainly promoting the show, and be sure to get your tickets for Toasted August 11th at 7, August 12th at 2, and get them at wrctheater.org. We'll get that information to you again before we wrap up. When it comes to encouraging others to perform, and not just actors around your ages, Ella and Jason, but actors like twice my age, people, you know, that have been in town here forever and they've been going to, you know, community theater plays and always been on the fence about, you know, maybe auditioning, maybe working behind the scenes, but they just haven't done it yet. I love to be able to push them forward, to be able to encourage them to do this. If you're talking to somebody, whether it's somebody your age or somebody 20 years older than you or something, what would you say to them to encourage them to do theater, to be a part of things there?
I've seen many people come into theater, like for high school, I've seen many people come into theater like their senior year and be crying because they didn't join theater earlier, because we are honestly such a family and you get to know every single person and you get all of these connections and it's just great for like real life. Like it gives you a lot of, what's the word?
Experience.
Experience for other things in life. And it just gives you a completely different view on what you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love that your director was right there with that line. That the only thing was missing there, I would have loved if you had said line right there. Like, line. That would have been even funnier. Thank you, Ella. I think that is exactly what I was hoping for, was an answer that I don't normally get. Most of the time, people talk about the excitement, the fun, and everything. I think that the people that, I don't want to say really get theater, but the people that I seem to gel with so much and I enjoy working with, they get that the show is great, rehearsing is great, it's fun being on stage or being behind the scenes. It's that organic family that you create that is so unique, and there's nothing like it. If you're fortunate, I've played 101 characters. I'm very fortunate to do that. I would say a good 70% of those are, I have relationships with people that I still have to this day, and that's probably the thing that I cherish most out of all of that. Young me wouldn't have seen that. Young me wanted to be the greatest actor in the world. Mm-hmm. I still want that, I'm not gonna lie, but I understand now that what means more and what I carry with me more are those relationships, those people that I have known, the people that I'm still friends with to this day. You don't know what's gonna happen, even if you're I talked, especially right now, I've been talking with a lot of my fellow SAG members and everything, and there's a lot of uncertainty right now in that industry. You could be George Clooney and not know what tomorrow's going to be. He'd be the first to tell you that. Any good actor will tell you, this job you're doing right now is great. Get that next gig. It's all about the next gig. Everything is planning ahead. you can't guarantee that stuff, but you can guarantee these relationships. You can guarantee if you're going to build an organic family through some of the people that you run into and meet in these situations. I think that's very cool. Jason, how about from you? What would you say to somebody?
Well, originally I wasn't even planning on doing it, but my friend actually introduced me to the theater, and I was skeptical at first, but as I've done it more and more years, I've come to love it even more, and the people in the theater are some of my closest friends right now, and we talk a lot. It's just a very fun experience and making friendships with all those people.
Follow-up question for both of you. Would you do this again? Do you plan to act again? Ella?
I mean, I've been acting since the third grade. It's something I enjoy. I mean, I've quit sports so I can do it. I've canceled plans. It's just something I love doing. So, yeah, of course, I'll do it again. Right on.
Easy answer for you. Easy answer. Jason?
I'm more new to the scene. I started sixth grade, and I had about six lines probably. But then, freshman year, I was up to, 100 lines. And I like that challenge, and I'll definitely keep doing it.
Really good to hear, and really good to have you guys back in and talk to you again, and wishing you the best. Break a leg, have a great performance, enjoy yourselves, and please tell the rest of the cast, your people backstage and everything, to break a leg. Have a great run, you guys. This show is coming up again August 11th at 7, August 12th at 2. You can get your tickets right now at wrctheater.org. Encourage you to do that. Don't wait. Get those tickets, wrctheater.org. However, if you are not able to, the days of the show, you can show up at the theater and get those tickets right at the box office. Probably be Tim or somebody there to take your money and go ahead and get you a seat to one of the better shows you are going to see. This is going to be a good show, people. Let's give them a good crowd. Everybody get down there and get those tickets. Again, wrctheater.org. And keep in mind that WRCT has got auditions for their main stage coming up. They have auditions for Blithe Spirit on August 14th and 15th at 6:30. Same location right at the WRC Theater. Go ahead and find out more again by going to wrctheater.org. Break a leg, you guys. Have a great run, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Appreciate the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
to love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports.